Good morning, and welcome to the Piatt County Journal Republican edition for Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is actually January 2nd, 2025. Happy New Year! Our biggest news today is that the Illinois State Police are expanding their move-over alerts for Illinois drivers. The Illinois State Police, whose acronym is ISP, the Illinois State Police are expanding the number of ways that drivers can receive alerts when ISP activity is up ahead and they need to slow down and move over. ISP and the Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology, whose acronym is DOIT, Department of Innovation and Technology, DOIT. So they and the state police are partnering with HAAS Alert, H-A-A-S, HAAS Alert, to expand notifications to select Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Mercedes-Benz, Ram, and Volkswagen vehicles. These safety alerts to drivers will be powered by Safety Cloud, HAAS Alert's solution for delivering digital alerts through leading navigation apps and compatible vehicle infotainment systems. Move-over crashes are preventable, and we've had too many Illinois State Troopers killed and injured because of them, said ISP Director Brendan F. Kelly. To keep both ISP troopers and drivers safe, ISP continues to identify new ways to alert people when they need to slow down and move over. Our partnership with HAAS Alert will help us ensure that drivers are paying attention and focused on the road ahead. ISP is one of the first law enforcement agencies in the country to provide real-time, GPS-based traffic information to help prevent what are commonly referred to as move-over crashes. The move-over law, also known as Scott's Law in Illinois, requires drivers to slow down and change lanes when approaching stationary emergency vehicles, including all highway maintenance vehicles displaying flashing lights and any stationary vehicle with their hazard lights activated. Building on ISP's partnership with Google Public Sector and move-over crash notifications in Waze and Google Maps, the partnership with HAAS Alert will expand these real-time GPS-based alerts to even more drivers of ISP traffic activity on the road, urging them to slow down and move over and making roads safer for all drivers. We are committed to leveraging technology to enhance public safety, said Illinois Department of Innovation and Technology Secretary and State CIO Sanjay Gupta. This partnership with HAAS Alert is a significant step towards ensuring that drivers receive timely and critical information, ultimately helping to save lives on our roads. To alert drivers to slow down and move over, ISP generates information about a crash, a traffic stop, a motorist assist, or debris in the roadway, which HAAS Alert then pushes to Safety Cloud for distribution to select vehicle infotainment systems. As drivers approach the GPS location of the ISP trooper, they will see a police icon and receive an alert to slow down and move over. As an Illinois small business, we couldn't be more grateful to do our part in keeping ISP troopers safe on the roads, said Corey Hose, CEO of HAAS Alert. Drivers and vehicles today are more connected than ever, and these alerts save lives and prevent tragedies. We're committed to working with even more automakers in 2025 and beyond to help ensure that everyone on the road gets home safely, including and especially first responders. Since 2019, two ISP troopers have been killed and more than 60 others have been injured. On January 12, 2019, Trooper Christopher Lambert was handling a crash on I-294. Trooper Lambert was outside his vehicle with his emergency lights on when a vehicle failed to slow down and Trooper Lambert was killed. On March 28, 2019, Trooper Brooke Jones Story was conducting a motor carrier safety inspection on U.S. Route 20. Trooper Jones Story was outside of her vehicle with the emergency lights on when another semi-truck hit her squad car. Trooper Jones Story was killed as a result. This new notification system will help drivers see in advance the locations where ISP is handling a crash or other traffic activity, warning people once again to slow down and move over. Today's Community News and Notes starts with an invitation for you to get familiar with gluten-free living and get the facts at an Illinois Extension program. While many people choose to eat gluten-free foods, only 1% of the population actually have a confirmed celiac disease diagnosis. What are the potential benefits and drawbacks of a gluten-free lifestyle in response to this condition? Find out at a free upcoming workshop presented by the University of Illinois Extension. The program is called Gluten-Free Facts and Fads, which will be held at 10:30 a.m. on January 10th at the Weldon Public Library, located at 505 Maple Street. Participants will learn about celiac disease, sources of gluten in foods, and tips for shopping, cooking, and eating gluten-free. Gluten-free eating dining is medically necessary for individuals with celiac disease, says nutrition and wellness educator Caitlin Mellendorf. While many people eat gluten-free for other reasons, cutting out gluten-containing foods can mean missing out on important nutrients. The workshop is free, but advance registration is requested. Participants may call the library at 217-736-2215, or you can visit this website to register by January 8th. The website for registration is go.illinois.edu and look for the link to the gluten program by January 8th. And once again, the program is scheduled for January 10th. That's a Friday at 10:30 a.m. at the Weldon Public Library. In case of inclement weather, an alternative date of January 17th, that's the following Friday, 1 week later. University of Illinois Extension provides equal opportunities in programs and employment. If you need reasonable accommodation to participate, please call at 217-877-6042. Early requests are strongly encouraged to allow sufficient time to meet your access needs. Allerton Park is also inviting you to join their 2025 Supper Club. Allerton Supper Club was created to build a community through a shared love of food, arts, and education. Each dinner will feature a local artisan chef and specially crafted menu, plus a chance to hear from and interact with the chef. Supper Club membership includes all 5 dinners throughout the year of 2025, as well as an early access cocktail hour and complimentary perks before each dinner. The 25 Supper Club dates and chefs are as follows. The first Supper Club will be on Saturday, January 18th, hosted by Chef Benny Del Valle. The next one will be on Saturday, March 15th, featuring Chef Leah Bodine and Chef Chris Always. The next dinner will be on Friday, May 2nd, hosted by Chef Blake Briggs. The following one will be on Saturday, September 6th, hosted by Prairie Fruits Farms and Creamery. The last dinner of the year will be next on Friday, November 7th, with host Chef D'Angelo Newson. The cost for the suppers is $100 per person per supper. To become a Supper Club member and receive access to all 5 dates, you can call us at 217-333-3287. Tickets are also available for individual dinners, and you can obtain them by going to the following website, and that is allerton.illinois.edu, and look for the link for the Supper Club. Next up, Allerton also invites you to become a member of the historical happy hour gatherings. You can sip on your favorite beverage in the beautifully renovated solarium at the Allerton Mansion and learn about the history of Allerton Park and the Allerton family's story during History Happy Hours on Thursdays, January 23rd, Thursday, February 20th, Thursday, March 20th, and April 17th from 5 to 6 p.m. each evening. During each historical happy hour, Visitor Center Coordinator Sarah Putman will highlight a new historical topic related to Allerton Park. Register for one evening or for the entire series. A cash bar will be open during each historical happy hour, and the cost is $5 per person. The History Happy Hour topics and dates, again, are January 23rd, Ms. Putman will be discussing the Oakley Dam crisis. On February 20th, the topic will be Allerton and the Art Institute of Chicago. The program for March 20th will cover the original artworks at Allerton Park. And then on April 17th, the topic will be the Friends of Robert Allerton. You can register for the historical happy hours at the following website, which is simply Eventbrite, that's one word, and Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E. So that's eventbrite.com, and look for the link to the historical happy hour tickets. Next, we learn that the ALICE program is now available for Piatt County residents. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois has partnered with Dove Financial Assistance to provide their ALICE program to Piatt County residents. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. This support will assist working individuals and families with limited to no savings, living paycheck to paycheck, and who have encountered an unforeseen financial crisis that threatens to plunge them into poverty. These individuals and families are therefore known as ALICE, Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. We have continued to broaden our footprint in Piatt County with local programs, including 211 information referral hotline for finding local services, as well as Dolly Parton's library. That's Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, which is also part of the ALICE program. And that Dolly Parton's Imagination Library will provide 12 free books a year to any child up to 5 years of age. Partnering with Dove Financial Assistance in Piatt County for our ALICE program was a logical choice, said Debbie Vogel, who's president of the United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois. We look forward to working together to assist working families in Piatt County, she said. The goal of this partnership is to keep working members of our community moving towards self-sufficiency rather than into poverty. State and federal assistance programs provide financial assistance to members of our community whose earnings are less than the federal poverty line. If a community member earns more, they may not be eligible for assistance until they fall below this line. With our ALICE program, we can help families that fall into a service gap and have nowhere else to turn. Partnering with United Way to assist with ALICE individuals and families adds another layer to our program that provides a systematic way to verify needs and provide a central location for persons seeking emergency financial assistance for water bills, power bills, and others, just to name a few, said Molly Tenuto, who is Program Director for Dove Financial Assistance. Once again, for more information on the ALICE program, you can contact Debbie Vogel at this phone number, 217-422-8537, or you can email her at dbogle, and that's spelled B-O-G-L-E, dbogle at uwdecatur.org, and that's United Way, uwdecatur.org. For assistance with direct services, you can contact Dove Financial Assistance at 217-433-7435, or you can email at DFA, which stands for Dove Financial Assistance, at doveinc.org. And in our last community note, the Piatt County Animal Shelter invites you to stop by or call to see any of their wonderful adoptable pets. This week's featured pet is Peaches, who is an adorable white and tabby kitten. Very cute. For more information, you can email the shelter at piattanimals, that's all one word, piattanimals@hotmail.com. Today's paper contains two obituaries. The first honors Judy Irene Seast, age 79, of Monticello, who died on Saturday, December 14th, in the Piatt County Nursing Home. Funeral services were held on Saturday, December 21st, at East Park Baptist Church in Decatur, preceded by visitation. Burial was in the Monticello Township Cemetery. Next, we remember Phyllis J. Taylor, age 102, of Monticello, who passed away on Saturday, December 14th, at her residence in Monticello. Funeral services were held on Friday, December 20th, at the Bement United Methodist Church in Bement. Burial was in the Cerro Gordo Township Cemetery. Turning now to prep sports, we have some good news about the Monticello girls basketball team. This article by Matt Daniels. The Monticello girls basketball team went into the holiday hoopla the day after Christmas, riding some confidence. A two-game win streak that ended a four-game losing skid will do just that. The Sages went on the road twice recently and came home with two impressive double-digit non-conference victories. Monticello went into it with a record of 4-5 and defeated Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond 46-27 on December 17th, and 2 days later earned a 62-44 win against Warrensburg Latham. The 62 points against the Cardinals are a season high as the Sages return to the court against Ridgeview in the holiday hoopla. Megan Allen shined in the victory against Warrensburg Latham, with the senior stuffing the stat sheet to the tune of a game-high 23 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 blocked shots. She also added 2 steals. She was an efficient 10 of 15 from the field and sank both of her 3-point attempts. Allie Widener complimented Allen by pouring in 19 points to go along with 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Widener shot 7 of 15 from the field and was 5 of 8 at the free throw line. Sarah Cresap was also key for the Sages, adding 8 points. The road win against ALAH saw Monticello hold an opponent to less than 30 points for the first time since a 48-12 victory against Charleston on November 25th. Widener scored a team-high 11 points for the Sages, while Allen contributed 9 points and Mady Melton came through with 8 points. Cresap contributed 5 points with 3 steals, and Emma Arnold scored 4 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 steals. It was a good-looking finish to the end of the year for the Monticello girls basketball team. Turning now to the Monticello boys basketball team, the Sages registered their second straight win with a convincing 66-40 non-conference victory at Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond on December 17th. The road win against the Knights saw the Sages, who came into it with a record of two wins to four losses, had 5 players finish in double figures, with balanced scoring powered Monticello that night. That was a night where the Sages only held a 29-27 halftime lead before outscoring ALAH 37-13 after halftime, including a 17-3 span in the fourth quarter alone. Gatsby Grant scored a team-high 14 points and grabbed 6 rebounds, while Nolan Bonerkamper finished with a double-double of 10 points and 11 rebounds. He also handed out 6 assists. Ike Young compiled 12 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals, while Carter Foran produced 11 points, and Maddox Quick was the 5th Sage in double figures to score 10 points, marking the first time the Monticello Sages had 5 players in double figures since a game against Clinton in 2005. Monticello only led 34-32 with less than 5 minutes remaining in the third quarter before they scored a 13-0 run. Young was key during that spurt, scoring 6 points, while Gatsby concluded the run with a 3-pointer and a layup that increased Monticello's lead to 47-32 with less than 2 minutes left. ALAH never decreased its deficit to single digits for the rest of the game. Monticello is scheduled to play Richmond County at the Comet Boosters Shootout in Greenville, and the Sages will then turn their attention to the Holiday Hoopla, which will go on for a week. And the Sages keep rolling along, most recently scoring 4 home wins for the wrestling team. This article by Matt Daniels. The Monticello wrestling team stayed busy going into Christmas and has continued to do so during the last week of 2024. The Sages entered the holiday break fresh off 4 wins and 5 home matches. Monticello defeated Centennial 60-19. They defeated Urbana 64-17. Both meets at the Seavers Center, and they were competitive with Mount Zion before losing 41-29 to the Braves. Prior to last week's meets, the Sages defeated Westville 42-37. They defeated Ridgeview 84-0 on December 17th at the Seavers Center. Monticello was scheduled to compete this past week at the Skull and Crossbones Tournament held at Cumberland and also at Williamsville. Results have not come in yet. Monticello took advantage of securing several wins via forfeit in their dual matches last week, but also fared well in contested matches as well. Zeke Young registered a pin in 1 minute 44 seconds at 120 pounds in the win against Centennial, with Nick Litchfield at 126 pounds, winning by pin in 2 minutes 57 seconds, while Luke Andrusik did the same in 2 minutes 22 seconds at 138 pounds against the Centennial Chargers. Monticello received forfeit wins at 106 pounds, 113 pounds, 150 pounds, 157, 165, 175, and 285 pounds against Centennial. Monticello had two contested wins against Urbana, with forfeit victories in several weight scales. Isaiah Ducker won by pin at 1 minute 39 seconds at 150 pounds, and Russ Brown earned an 8-0 decision at 215 pounds for the Sages. Young put forth an impressive showing at 120 pounds against Mount Zion, needing only 5 seconds to compile a pin. Other Sages who recorded wins in that duel were Brian Kuhn at 144 pounds via an 18-3 technical fall. Ducker scored at 157 pounds by pin in just 37 seconds. Colton Schubert at 165 pounds won by pin in 1 minute 40 seconds, and Hunter Romano at 190 pounds won by pin in 1 minute 39 seconds. Andrusik at 138 pounds, and Drake Weeks at 150, and Schubert at 165 all had pins against Westville, with Weeks needing only 14 seconds to secure his win. The Sages also received forfeit wins at 5 different weight classes. Their performance has earned Monticello's wrestling team 4 wins out of 5 home matches. Congratulations. We have a few minutes to look back at the Piatt County Journal Republican of 100 years ago in our weekly special, As Time Goes By. This feature is researched and written for the Journal Republican by the Piatt County Historical and Genealogical Society, and we thank Mike Nolan for compiling these items. And here we go. News from 1924, 100 years ago. On Saturday afternoon, the residence of W.E. Root of Bement was found to be on fire. It is supposed that the fire began in a closet, and clothing belonging to the family stored in the closet was a complete loss. The damage to the house is estimated to be about $200. The community club gave their annual football and basketball banquet recently. 200 tickets were sold, plus some 70 additional guests turned up. The greatest treat of the evening was the presence of Coach Robert Zepke of the University of Illinois and Harold Red Grange of football fame. Well, our next item tells us that it was reported recently that a big robbery had occurred at Monticello High School. From reports, one was sure that practically everything movable at the school had been carried away. Everyone expected bloodhounds to be secured and possibly a special detective or two assigned to the case. The sheriff and the state's attorney became active in the case. Eager expectation on the report of the loss and indications were that it would total a considerable sum. After checking and rechecking and employing every device known, it was concluded that the amount of the theft consisted of 25 cents and a large red apple. Our next item. The family of Lee Taylor, who was sent last week to the state penal farm near Vandalia for 6 months for operating a still. His family will be cared for by the county and township while he is serving his sentence. Mrs. Taylor is now at the home of relatives and is about to become a mother, as well as having 3 small children already to care for. In our next item, J. O. Barnhart of Cerro Gordo, who is the composer of the latest hit song, The Old Hometown, has just sold a poem of his own creation on Abraham Lincoln to the Western Newspaper Union, who will incorporate it with their regular Lincoln Day page of syndicated matter sent to newspapers throughout the country. This concludes our reading of this edition of the Piatt County Journal Republican. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader. I wish you a happy new year and invite you to join us again next week.